Thank you very much, Gisela. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is the ALAC monthly conference call on Tuesday, the 26th of February, 2013. The time is 15:03 UTC. And the first thing I'm going to ask is for all of you to have a look at the agenda page and adopt the agenda, or ask if there is any other business that we need to add to this very long agenda today. I don't see anyone putting their hand up, so the agenda is adopted. And so we can start then immediately with the roll call. Gisela, if you could please.
Thank you, Gisela, for the transcript. On today's call, we have Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Jean-Jacques Subrena, Tijani Benjema, Vi Atahun, Holly Raich, Salanieta Pamanikai Waimaro, Dev Anantiluksing, Alan Greenberg, Sandra Horferichter, Evan Leibovich, Eduardo Diaz, Renalia Abdul-Rahim. We have Oksana Priotkov, Arth Brun, Winthrop Yu, and Dick Kalkman will be joining us late. Liaisons, we have Cheryl Langdon Orr and Julie Hammer. On the Spanish channel, Natalia Enciso will be joining us to connect. Apologies noted from Vivek Anand and Seth Rees. From staff, we have Matt Ashtiani, Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Natalie Peregrine, and myself, Gisela Gruber. Our interpreters today on the Spanish channel are Veronica and Dina. On the French channel, Fernanda and Camilla. Apologies also noted from Carlton Samuels. If I could remind everyone to please state their names when speaking, not only for transcript purposes, but also to allow the interpreters to identify you on the other language channel. If you happen to be on the audio bridge and on the Adobe Connect, please do remember to mute your speakers to avoid any interference. Thank you. Over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Gisela. So have we forgotten anyone in the current list? Doesn't look like it. I see a lot of people, so that's really great. Welcome, everybody, and let's go directly into the action items, which is agenda item number two, the 22nd of January 2013 ALAC meeting action items. Now, I just wanted to take a little bit more time on the action items today, because as you'll notice, there are long-term goals and there are also open action items, recently closed, newly assigned action items. And having a look through the long-term goals, thankfully, staff and I have noticed that there are a number of things which were completed and which could really be taken out. So I wanted to read through those since we have to officially close those action items. Otherwise, they'll just linger on in the ether space. The first one, if we look at the long-term goals, in-progress long-term goals with no update required, and let's update it once and for all, the at-large staff is to move forward with the SOI and COI page. These are the Statement of Interest page, and I have to thank everyone for having provided their SOI. I think that we've got a full house. Matt, is that correct?
Hi, everyone. This is Matt for the record. We have everyone except for one individual who I've been working with.
Okay, well, that's really good. And, of course, now that we've got these SOIs, I ask all of you to make sure that they are up to date. We're not going to have a regular call for SOI updates at the beginning of all of our calls. But it is important because we can use those not only in the ALAC world, but we can probably point to those from wherever we are in the ICANN sphere of things. So the next one, Gisela, to prepare a document showing ALAC members' current membership in working groups by the next ALAC meeting. Now, Gisela has done that. It is completed. Unfortunately, we haven't really acted on this yet, and so it would be good to update this. And Gisela, if you could just cross-check that an updated version is there, and then that will be shared among the XCOM. And we'll see where we go from there. After that, okay, next, Gisela is to send Evan the transcription of the comments made and to work on the calls for comments. Of course, we don't know what transcription of the comments made and what call for comments that was, so I gather that was completed. A letter from the chair of the ALAC to the chair of the board is to be sent with the improvements report that was done. Carlton Samuels is to draft a paragraph on the request for community input on formulation of 2013-2016 strategic plan public comment and post it on the wiki. That's completed. And I've just noticed I am speaking fast for the interpreters, so I do apologize. Heidi is to add the at-large new GTLD working group and review group meetings for Toronto. Well, that's done, and that happened. Matt Ashtiani is to update Aotearoa Maori Internet Organization of its recertification, and that was completed, and of course that organization was recertified. Staff was to start the vote on the NOMCOM rep today. Thank goodness we didn't wait 1 year to reach 28th of August 2013. We've got 2012 with a close date of September the 1st. Obviously that was done. And Heidi contacted Steve Antonoff and Constituency Travel with regards to a global account. And from the sum, I gather that this was to do with the IGF. And of course, this has also... Thank you. This has also happened. So this is completed. And then we have the in-progress long-term goals with an update that is required, but which we have not updated for quite a while. The first one is to do with the metrics, and I gather that this is all still in progress, apart from one part, which is 1C, which asks for help to be sought from Kurt Pritz and Carol Cornell. Well, Kurt is not an ICANN anymore, so this we might just say this part is completed. And the rest of the of this action item is still very much in progress. Secondly, on the board consultations, the ALAC is to refine its goals regarding its advising of the board, and this, of course, is all to do with how the board accepts and responds to ALAC advice, and it also has to do with the templates for policy statements, executive summaries in our policy statements, etc. Now, there has been some discussion with board members on whether there was a preferred template. The response has pretty much been, no, you can supply it in whatever is easier to read. So I think that we have, over time, with staff and with those people who have held the pen, found a format that is pretty helpful for the board and for whatever comment period there is to read our advice. The response has been quite positive. I don't know if anyone else wishes to add anything to this. As you will notice, we've marked all of the board consultation part as being completed. But now I open the floor if anyone wishes to add to this. I see no one putting their hand up, so I gather there is agreement here that this is all completed. So now that's pretty good. That certainly will clean up our plate a little bit. Let's look at the open action items. There are two of them. The first one is with regards to a statement on my experiences at the World Conference on International Telecommunications. This is forthcoming. The long reports, which I was drafting, is complete, has passed through the UK government for clearance, and so I will soon be releasing this. And then, of course, shortly afterwards, be drafting a statement on this. And I guess that Evan and Jean-Jacques will then lead the Future Challenges Working Group to expand on this statement, specifically looking at the issues raised at the WCIT. So these are still in progress. Recently closed one is for Heidi to work with the chair of the WHOIS Working Group to set up a webinar on WHOIS. And that webinar has taken place last week. I invite everyone to have a look at the webinar's page and to either listen to the webinar itself or to read the transcript if you've missed this, because it was particularly interesting. We had some really great lineup on the panel, and I for one, learned a number of things during that webinar, and I thought I knew it all, but there you go. You learn something new every day, and so I think it's such an important issue. It's really great that we can all we have the ability to have such experts at hand. So that's one, and I'm not sure, has staff sent a follow-up regarding this? Because I know that one action item was for a follow-up to be sent to the lists to send a pointer to everyone to be able to review this at their leisure. Heidi?
I don't think this is Heidi for the record. I don't think that I have done that yet. I will do that, but I have just put in the agenda in the at-large chat, so the recording and I believe the transcript is on there.
That's great. Super. So that's one. And of course, if you, if anyone has ideas about other webinars that you would like to see happen, I'm certainly very much open to suggestions. I think it really falls as part of our capacity building for our membership and for everyone. And how many people did we have on this webinar, Heidi? I can't remember the exact number, but it was very well attended.
I believe we had 30 people, which was a really high number.
That's really great. So thank you. It's really good to have such a good attendance, and it certainly means that there is a lot of interest in these webinars. Good resource to draw from, Salah. Yes, that's right. Okay. Next, the newly assigned action items, there we go, the issue of WHOIS is to be added as an issue to be addressed by the at-large capacity building working group. This one I'll have to check on. I'm not quite sure what that related to. Anyone help me on this?
Olivia, this is Heidi.
Yes, go ahead, Heidi.
Yeah, I believe it's basically an action item saying that the interest within or within the community for who is would make it a good topic for capacity building.
Ah, okay. Thank you, Heidi. Well, that certainly makes sense, something that we've just said a moment ago. So, yeah, okay, perfect. I see Tijani has put his hand up. Tijani, you have the floor.
Yes, please. Olivier. We indeed highlighted this point at our last teleconference as a capacity building working group, and it is one of the, if you want, specific points that we will address very soon in our program. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. That's very helpful. Okay, so we'll continue on this. So that's a great start for the capacity building working group. And now next, regarding the rules of procedure working group, once the ROP working group provides its work to the ALAC members will have 2 weeks to read through the work. There will then be a single purpose call for the ALAC to discuss the work, as well as discuss how and when the ALAC will vote on the new rules of procedure. I see Alan has put his hand up, so Alan, you have the floor. Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. I'm not quite sure how this is worded, and I must admit I didn't review it. I would suggest that the single purpose call come well early on in that two-week process to give people an idea and opportunity to make comments and stuff. Otherwise, we're going to add another 2 weeks onto it to receive input and things like that. So that's number one. Number two, it's not just for the ALAC to read through it, but to accept any inputs from the community that they feel they should be passed on forward. So it's a two-week review. It's a two-week review period, but I think the call should be early in the 2 weeks, not late in the 2 weeks, or relatively early to the extent we can schedule it.
Yeah, I think that was the original intent, and to basically proceed. But the reason why it's an action item is just to make sure we know the path to take and that staff can quickly action what it needs to do as soon as the ROP work is provided over to the ALAC. Of course, we will be discussing this in a moment later on in our agenda.
Right.
So this one is still in progress as well. Any comments or questions on any of these action items that we've gone through in the past 10 minutes? I don't see any comments. I see Sala has put just a note in the chat. Action item capacity building will include webinars as resource material for at large, and yes, that can just be amending the issue of who is and the newly assigned action item. Just as a reminder. Okay, let's move on and go over to our next part, which, if I can scroll back up, takes us to the review of current at-large structure applications. And so for this, I hand the floor over to Matt.
This is Matt for the record. I'm just actually pulling up the agenda right now. 1 second, please. So for the ALS applications, the current status is number 167, RAID Services. Othello has suggested that the organization join the DC, as RAID Services is a business organization.
The next applicant, 170, the RAILO has requested some additional information from the applicant. So once that additional information has happened, we can proceed with the application. Number 177, LAC RAILO is still producing its regional advice. Once it has its regional advice, we can proceed with that application.
Okay, thank you very much, Matt. Any questions or comments on these applications? I don't see anyone putting their hand up. Just again to note my satisfaction that we have a constant trickling of new applications coming in, and it really is great to see this community continue to grow. So it's good to see it. Of course, we need to keep those applicants interested, but with all of the work that this community is doing, I'm feeling pretty positive about it all. So let's have a look at number 5 on our agenda. That's the reports. And, of course, once again, I thank everyone who has produced the monthly reports for the work that they've done. It's very, very important to have those reports published for the simple reason that, let's have a look at agenda item number 4, review of current ALS applications. New at-large structures coming into our community will not know what is going on without having up-to-date information published and made available for them to be able to look at. And, communication is one of the most important things that we have to deal with in at-large. And keeping information hoarded in one part, one working group, or in the head of a specific chair or person is not helpful at all to the rest of the community. So without going into detail into all the reports, I invite you all to have a look at the wiki page, which has links to all of these reports. And I will just ask the GNSO liaison and the CCNSO liaison to give us a quick summary of what has been happening in their part of the world. So starting with the GNSO liaison, Alan Greenberg, would you please step up to the floor?
Thank you. It's been relatively quiet. There's a lot that should be happening, but the GNSO is not extremely active right now. There are responses going to FATI on trademark clearinghouse, and but not really substantive. And I'm hoping that some discussion will start, but it hasn't happened yet. They were asked for input on the closed generic, and I suspect nothing will come on that because the GNSO is not really in a position to give unified responses. There's a lot pending, not a lot that is very active. The only thing I will highlight is that a new PDP started yesterday, the first meeting yesterday, that is IRTPD. I'm on it, but don't plan to be very active. Holly is on it, but the meetings are happening at a rather awkward time for her, and it's not clear. I'll let Heidi speak for Holly speak for herself to what extent she'll participate. It would really be good to get some at-large people. There are some issues related to transfers of users, and specifically transfers of domains from a RegiSense point of view, and there is one particular question of should a registrant be able to lodge a complaint about a transfer. Currently, there's a formal process that either the receiving or the giving registrar can. So I think it's something we should be participating in. Plus, as I've highlighted before, we need to get more people involved in GNSO activities. So I'm not quite sure how to do it, and I'm not talking just about ALAC people. I'm talking about at-large people. There are likely to be several other PDPs starting in the near future. IRTPD is a good one because it should be a short one. It is exceedingly well managed. The people running it have a lot of experience, and they're more organized than I've ever seen a PDP before in my life, or perhaps a working group before in my life. So it's a good one to try if you want to try one, whether you're knowledgeable about transfers or not. That's all I have to say at the moment.
Thank you very much, Alan. And I'll immediately ask for our CCNSO liaison to provide us with an equally as informative report. Cheryl Langdon-Orphy. Please.
Thank you very much, Cheryl, for the transcript record, who's been very naughty and not put the recently received minutes from the most recent CCNSO Council teleconference, which thankfully actually happened on the 12th of February. It usually happens just a few hours before our call, but life has got in the way recently, and I haven't updated our MySpace with those minutes, but they will be up shortly. Just to report on that, it was very much a well-attended meeting, and predominantly, whilst there was a lot of work on the agenda, it was very much administratively focused, and it may be an appropriate time, perhaps towards mid-year, for us to look at where the ACs and SOs are in terms of harmonisation or lack thereof in some of their administrative processes, because it seems to me that GNSO has gone through a lot of this, CCNSO is going through a lot of this, ALAC has gone through and is going through a lot of this. So perhaps that might be something, Olivier, that you might want to discuss with your other the rest of your leadership team, because reinventing the wheel, which I certainly see happening, probably isn't a good use of volunteers' time. Of significance, however, is one particular thing, not so much out of those meeting minutes, but circulating in the list since then, and that is the CCNSO is formalising. It's just put out a request to its membership for a formalisation of mechanism for CCNSO Council submissions for ICANN staff to track PDPs, etc. So there's an awful lot of, to call it housework, I think is underrating it. I'd certainly call it a significant DIY renovation going on, and we have a fairly full agenda prepared for Beijing, not only for the council call, but also, which is an open council meeting, and of course not only CCNSO members, but anyone else is welcome in that room, but also the two-day members meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And I now open the floor for any questions or comments. Both on the GNSO and the CCNSO liaison reports. I see no one putting their hand up. Okay.
There is a question from Sala.
I see Sala's put her hand up. Yes, go ahead, Sala. You have the floor. Sala Nyata Tamanyika Wema.
Thank you, Olivia. Sala here for the transcripts. Cheryl, thank you for the report. I just wanted to very quickly ask that. I asked sometime last year, but there wasn't any clear answer from either somebody within the CC, but I'd just like to ask whether the capacity building working group is active within the CCNSO. When I asked last year, they said it wasn't, so I'm just checking because I remember seeing it on their website.
Cheryl here. Can I ask you to clarify what do you actually mean by capacity building within the CCNSO, remembering that the CCNSO is a members list, an approved members list, of active and accredited CCTLD operators?
Yes. I was referring to something that they had put up on their site, on the CCNSO site, noting that not all CCTLDs are accredited. One of the things that they had...
Sorry.
Yes, Sharon?
My bore of breath was when you said something about the status of accreditation of CCTLD operators. All CCTLD operators, whether they're members of the CCNSO or not, are, of course, fully accredited, and that is managed by the IANA mechanisms. But I do understand that there is a terminology used in the CCNSO website and indeed in our meeting that we refer to things as capacity building. If that's what you're referring to, and I'll ask you to confirm that, then I'll do my best to answer it.
Yes, Cheryl. Just interested in Sala again for the transcripts, just interested in finding out who the contact person is for the capacity building within the CCNSO.
Sure.
Thanks.
The answer is the closest, Sala Cheryl for the record, the closest you would get to a contact person would be to have staff contact Bath, who is Heidi's equivalent, and of course there are a couple of other staffers who Gabrielle and a couple of others who worked tirelessly to ensure that the members' meetings that run in a face-to-face context are successful, and that is very much where a sharing of experiences happens, and that is what we would tend to describe as capacity building. In other words, when there are sessions in Beijing where presentations are made from certain sets of experiences, they may be security or they may be technical, from one CCTLD operator to the rest of the CCNSO members. But that's all a matter of a focus on meeting together that happens to happen during ICANN meetings.
I see.
Okay, thank you very much, Cheryl, and thank you, Sala, for raising this subject. I want to swiftly move on and just wanted to give the floor to our ESSAC liaison, who is Julie Hammer, for us to provide us with a quick update on the ESSAC activities. Julie, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivia. Julie Hammer for the transcript record. Can everyone hear me?
Yep.
Yes, go ahead, Julie.
Okay, just a quick one. We did have an ESSAC meeting this month, which was really an update on Work Party. As you know, Jim Galvin participated in the Who Is Briefing call, and I haven't had a chance to listen to the transcript yet, but I will do, and I gather that that was a very successful call with everyone participating in that. I'm involved in two of the ESSAC work parties, both to do with internet abuse and DNS abuse. They're both just still fine-tuning their scope, and they're quite closely related, but as with Sala and Holly and Cheryl, most of those meetings are at not very pleasant hours. One thing that I often find quite difficult in reporting to you is that I'm really only allowed with ESSAC to report information that is publicly available, so it makes it a little bit difficult to give you additional insights without finding that I'm treading beyond where I should. So I guess in that context, I'll leave my report at that.
Thank you very much, Julie. And of course, you're able to tell all of us all of what's going on in ESSAC, but you would have to kill us afterwards, which, judging from the number of people on this call, would be a bloodbath.
Would be a big job.
Thank you. Thank you very much for this very interesting. And of course, we will be looking forward to seeing more of the ESSAC's work once it is published. So let's move on. But before I close agenda item number 5, I just want to remind you, and you as in working group chairs, RALO leaders, and all the people who basically have to draft these reports, that you might be receiving a very kind reminder from staff, because we are looking at the groups that haven't provided an update recently. As I said, it's really important that we get the communication aspect right. And there's nothing worse than having an at-large structure, a member coming out and saying, well, it doesn't look like anything's happening in such and such an issue. I've looked at the reports and there's nothing there. So we'll be tightening things a little bit in that department, and I look forward to next month when we meet and we'll have more of a more complete set of reports. So let's move on to the next thing, the next agenda item, which is new business items for decision. And I invite you all to the policy advice development page, thanking Matt for keeping this up to date. I must say that ever since this has been implemented, it's been increasingly easy to find out and understand where we are. And it's been very good because we've had an increased number of public comments that has been asked of us recently, which if we didn't have a proper system to track those things, would have been an absolute mess. So thanks again, Matt, for that. Now, the recently adopted ALAC statement, documents, or groups, first we had an endorsement of APRT2 candidates. That's the Accountability and Transparency Review Team. The board has asked for a call for candidates. There was an endorsement of a number of candidates, and the ones who were chosen at the end by the chair of the board and the chair of the GAC were both Alan Greenberg and myself. That's representing the ALAC, and there will also be someone who is in at-large circles, who has been very active in at-large circles as the chair of the new GTLD working group. That's Avery Doria, who will be wearing a GNSO hat in that group. The group will be meeting the week after next, if I get this correctly, in 2 weeks' time, and will be starting its work with a face-to-face meeting in Los Angeles. Next, the Think Who Is PDP Working Group, and that has been adopted with 14 votes in favor, 0 against, and 0 abstentions. I very much thank the drafting this. It's it's always good that we have people holding the pen. I'm a bit concerned that it's often the same people holding the pen, and we'll be touching on this in a moment. The next one is the at-large IDN variant TLD program. That's a procedure to develop and maintain the label generation rules for the root zone in respect of IDNA labels. And there was the second public comment draft that was adopted with 13 votes in favor and zero against and zero abstentions. And I'm glad that this one is through, because that must have been probably one of the longest names of public comments that we've had to ever work on. The next one is the ICANN volunteer engagement and travel support issues. That's turned into a correspondence that has been submitted. And if I just invite you to have a quick look at it, that's been sent over to Sally Costerton and with a carbon copy over to Steve Antonoff. And there is some follow-up. In fact, I will be speaking to Sally later on this week on a quick conference call to touch on various issues, and we might be touching on this depending on how much time we have on our call. Any question on the past recently adopted statements? I see Alan has put his hand up, so Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you. On the travel issue, number one, I believe Steve is no longer part of that process, and the group now reports to Diane Schroeder. So that's number one. Number two, was there any outcome of it? Is anything going to change for Beijing, or is it all sometime in the far, long, dark, deep future? You said
thank
you,
Alan.
Gotten a positive response from Sally.
Well, yes, thank you, Alan. The positive response is that matters apparently will be looked at on a case-by-case basis for the time being, but travel is going to be providing further details soon. Details are forthcoming, and this is really the question I will be asking Sally, because I was told this a couple of months ago. I was told this in January, and there hasn't been any further communication since January
on this. Just for the record, I was one of the ones who was told they had to leave Friday, despite the Friday morning meeting. And So I have a minor interest of financial value to me, so I'd like to know. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Me too, I could say.
I understand, but Evan too.
We're all in this same boat, and the question will be asked.
I just want to make sure if the answer is yes, that someone finds out about it so we can benefit from it.
Yes, is the answer. Next, statements or endorsement currently being developed, reviewed, or voted on by the ALAC. I see Tijani has put his hand up. Tijani, is it on the next part?
No, Olivier, it's on the past one, the last one. It is very interesting for us, at large, that it will be decided definitely that the traveling day has to be the following day of the last working day, and the arriving day must be the day before the first day of the working of the work. If this is decided, everything is easy, because there is everything is clear, the schedule is clear, everyone has duty, and since people know their duty, so the arriving and departing days will be very clear. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Tijani. So let's move on. Let's go to the statements or endorsements currently being developed, reviewed, or voted on by the ALAC. And the first one is the report on the GNSO Working Group on Consumer Trust, Consumer Choice, and Competition. The statement turned into a correspondence, a letter to be sent to Shireen Chalabi, who is the chair of the new GTLD working group on the board. As you know, the chair of the board Steve Crocker is conflicted. So a subcommittee was created to deal with all matters related to the new GTLD procedure. Now, this statement underwent a lot of discussion with several people being involved, and I was very pleased to see a thorough discussion taking place. As a result, this correspondence will be sent to Shireen, and the correspondence effectively says that the set of metrics which was developed by the GNSO working group is, in the ALAC's view, incomplete, and the proposition or the proposal is that the ALAC puts together a team quickly that will consider additional metrics and send this to the board or to the chair of the working group by the ICANN 46 meeting in Beijing. I'm pleased to also note that I will be having a conference call with Shireen Chalabi. I think it's either tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. And by that time, I believe that he will have this letter in his hand. So we will be discussing this letter and have an immediate reply on timings, etc. I see that Evan has put his hand up. So Evan, as the main drafter of this, please, you can have the floor.
Thanks very much, Olivier. This is Evan, as you said. Two small points, one of which is a suggestion I put in the Adobe chat that as a matter of courtesy that a copy of the letter go to the SO and AC chairs, since this is, of course, reflecting on a GNSO comment. And also I want to take the opportunity to put out a call for anybody who is interested in participating with me on this team that is going to try and augment the GNSO work by putting in some end-user-centric measurements that we think ICANN ought to implement as part of the metrics program. The team doesn't have a lot of time. I have a couple of specific people in mind, people who have already commented on the who are involved in the discussion of the letter so far. But if there is anybody I have missed, I know Alan has indicated an interest. If there are other people on this call or other people that you know that would be interested in participating in helping to create some end-user-centric metrics on the new GTLD program, please get in touch with me or with that large staff. Thanks.
And thank you very much, Evan. And this is a little ad hoc task force. Somehow. So, of course, everyone is very well encouraged to join. Right, so let's move on. The next one is the statement on the WCIT outcomes, and I have spoken about this a little bit earlier with a statement that is forthcoming. The next one is the consultation on the GTLD delegation and redelegation performance standards, and the similar consultation for the CCTLD delegation and redelegation performance standards. That's with Cheryl Langdon-Orr and Alan Greenberg, and having heard hand up for the second time from Cheryl Langdon-Orr, I gather that she has her hand up. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Thank you. This is Cheryl for the record, and I have totally flaky Adobe Connect. I have no chat in my window, no ability to communicate with you any other way other than by voice. So not sure whether you heard me the first time. I made it sure for the second. In the future, I'll wait to be called upon if it's a problem. With regard to this particular session, it's the same set of questions relating to the the GTLD and the CCTLD delegation and redelegation issues. Alan has been, as you'll hear later, unbelievably heroic with the amount of volunteer time he's put into other activities for us recently, and he and I have gently touched but not put pen to paper on the responses to those questions. So he and I have also discussed the fact that with, I think it's version 46 or 47 of the rules of procedure drafting done, and that they should be in your hands soon. We may be able to see light at the end of the tunnel by the end of the week to have a quick call and respond to those questions and put a draft up. This, however, does mean that the deadline for the comments for you to have your ALAC look at the work we briefly put together for you would not fit in with the close for comments period. The proposal is that one thing the ALAC could do is put in during the last couple of days before close of comments a small note saying it intends to put in a letter directly to staff in charge of those comments with a response to the questions asked in the discussion paper. If that doesn't suit you, then the other option would be, should you still wish to make a comment, that you ask for a small extension. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And just as a question, because I know this, so the initial comment period is the 28th of February. The reply period closes on the 21st of March. Do you foresee any problem with being able to, or any difficulty with being able to submit something well before the 21st of March?
Oh, if I may, Cheryl, for the record again, if you didn't think that your ALAC would need 7 or more days to chew over what Alan and I will pen, you could have something in by the 28th of March. That's not probable. Therefore, we'd be looking at having something for your ALAC to look at by the end of this week. And therefore, that advice would be able to be integrated into the system in whatever shape or form it is going to be integrated into the SHIP system in the very first week of March.
Okay.
Your ALAC have had time to look at what Alan and I pen for them.
Okay, thank you. So in this case, I think that we can ask staff to ask for an extension, and if we are able to provide the input by the reply, the end of the reply period, then we'll do that. If we are not given that opportunity, then we will be submitting the comments directly to the staff who are in charge of this. Is that okay? I'm not sure who is doing the AIs. Is it Matt or?
Yes, Matt, if I may, Matt can continue to work with Alan and I, he has done to date. But you just need to remember that if you put in a note before the 28th of March that says ALAC will shortly be forthcoming with a response to the questions asked in the paper, then that is in fact a response in the comment period. A reply comment period has to be limited to things that are raised in the comment period.
Oh, has there nothing been... Yes, thank you, Cheryl. I haven't checked whether there was already a comment in the initial comment period, so this is why I'm not sure. Yeah. Is there nothing at the moment? Oh, yeah, I see it's empty. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So if it is empty, yes.
Yeah, now you're on the page with me, yes.
Correct. Now I'm on the page. No, I'm not even on the same page as you because you're on the CCTLD and I'm on the GTLD. I gather it's the same person in charge of both, and they're probably both empty. So if I could ask staff to contact Michelle Cotton, who I believe is in charge of both these comments periods, and advise her of the... our forthcoming comments. I'm not sure that they would wish to keep the initial comment and the reply period open for the full length, but what they might do is to give us an extension if we are the only part of ICANN that is providing a comment.
Indeed.
Okay, I see Alan having put his hand up. Alan, you have the floor.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to note I support what Cheryl said, and I don't know the rules, but it is possible they would cancel the reply period if there's nothing to reply to, so it is important to get something in.
That is the rules, Alan.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Next. Next is the closed generic GTLD applications. Now, this is another one of these public comment discussions that has really been particularly interesting and with a lot of people taking part and certainly two very, very different viewpoints. Some at large have voiced their concern that closed generics are harmful, and some have actually voiced the concern that they don't believe that closed generics are harmful. They don't think that they're great, a great thing, but they're not harmful. And the question which was asked by the board in a quite unusual way is whether the community felt that closed generics should be allowed or not allowed, or whether they are harmful or not harmful. I refer you, I'm just paraphrasing here, but I refer you to the page which asks these questions. Evan Leibovich has very kindly picked up the pen on this and has been very thorough in his research. Notice or listen to a lot of people. There was some discussion that took place on several occasions, both on the mailing list, but also, I believe, on the new GTLD working group that had a call yesterday and that discussed this in detail. And so the single purpose call came up with a statement that will effectively show the two general camps and ask for ALAC members to choose between option one and option two. And that, it is hoped, would give the board a good idea of how our committee stands by giving both the point of view of both camps, and effectively showing a little bit which way our community, hoping that the ALAC members are an extension of the whole at-large community, which way our community stands on these things. I know Evan has put his hand up, so I'll give the floor over to Evan, since he is the pen holder on that.
Thanks very much, Olivier. I don't have much to add to this so far. It was a very productive call. I just want to call attention to a number of private conversations I've had with people who have asked who have asked for something slightly more nuanced than simply a numbers game. In the call, we came out with sort of enumerating the two widely held and somewhat opposing points of view, and figured that we would just do a poll of ALAC members and report back on what the numbers were. Since then, I received a number of communications. Some were private. One was very well expressed by former ALAC member and board member Roberto Gaetano, who posted a very good follow-up message on the working group list, essentially saying that there ought to be something that detailed a little bit more about the struggles we had, that made it a little bit more than a numbers game, and also perhaps might want to put in the suggestion that making such a binary choice of simply closed or open might be part of the problem, that the way this current process has been painted may lack innovation in a way that is forcing people to apply for closed things when really they would rather not. So there's a couple of other issues that were discussed on the call. Alan and I, in fact, are going to be talking directly after this call to try and figure out the best way forward. And also, Olivier, I want to thank you for chairing the meeting yesterday. I found myself in the awkward position of being both the pen holder, being asked to be the surrogate chair, and having a very strong view of my own on the issue. So having you in the meeting certainly made sure that things were nice and neutral, and that no particular point of view was going to bully anybody else. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. Do you have a date or time at which the finalized statement will be ready, or will be able to launch an ALAC vote on this?
I'll let you know after Alan and I speak immediately after this call.
Okay, perfect. Now, I note that there's a question on the chat which asks for an option three, an abstain, or is it in option four now? I'm not quite sure. The question on the board is, do you think that these closed GTLDs are dangerous or not, or do you think they're good or not? I'm not quite sure you can say, well, if you just say, well, they might be or they might not be, and I'm just a little bit confused at that point, because it really is a binary question somehow.
I don't know.
Olivier, my hand's up, Alan.
Yes, Alan. Sorry, I've just noticed your hand now. Alan Greenberg.
Okay, thank you. As Evan was alluding to, the nuance, which I think Roberto was referring to and Evan was referring to, is, in my mind, a flavor of A. That is, closed, generic word TLDs owned privately are a bad thing. It's not a binary decision in that case. It really is a nuanced one because there are some cases, and the example I gave or I used in the discussion yesterday was Live by Microsoft. It is a generic word, but they're not using it as the generic word. They are clearly using it in reference to their own trademark. Whereas book is very much a generic word. Other purveyors of services like Microsoft Live do not call it Live, whereas every publisher calls their books books. So it's a nuanced issue, and I suspect what's going to come out of Evan and our discussion, with input from Roberto, is something of a gray shade of A. That is, we're not saying that every generic word as a TLD is a bad thing. It depends on the details of how it's being used. So I suspect the fourth version will be a flavor of A. But that's having a discussion we haven't had yet. So.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan.
It's conceivable we will end up with a third option in the middle, but that's not what I'm predicting at this moment, not having had the discussion yet. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. And having had the discussion yesterday, having followed this, I can barely understand what is going on now, and I suspect most other ALAC members are completely confused. So well
and
done.
I looked at Evan's comment in the chat. We're doomed.
Just for the transcript, Evan has mentioned that he sees a nuanced position as a flavor of B, whilst Alan sees it as a flavor of A. So there we go. Now, let's move on then, because we're not going to get anywhere with all of those flavors. And let's get on with the next, which is the Who is Registrant's Identification Study Draft Report. Carlton Samuels is going to reply, or has been asked, whether a statement is necessary. At the moment, the comment period closes on the 9th of March, 2013. So we'll be expecting an answer from Carlton soon. Of course, if anyone else here believes that they have a strong view, a strong point of view about this, they're very welcome to raise their hand or shout out that they'd like to hold the pen on this. Next, the currently open public... I'm confused now. The currently open public comment. Consultation on INS secure notification process. Technical matter, we have not mentioned much on IANA internal processes in the past. The comment period was extended to the 28th of February, which is 2 days from now, but no statement from the ALAC will be forthcoming, except, of course, if anyone decides otherwise. Next, the IDN variant TLD program, the draft final report, examining the user experience implications of active variant TLDs. No statement on this either. The user experience implications was actually discussed on a recent IDN call, these, of course, are sometimes technical. They vary from browser to browser, application to application. And the IDN variants TLD working group seems to have this well in hand. Next, the policy versus implementation. That's a staff, ICANN staff, that has put together a method to discern policy versus implementation. Again, no statement on this. The comment period, the initial comment period, closed on the 21st of February. The reply period closes on the 14th of March. If you believe that anything that's already been said in the comments that have been submitted contravenes our points of view, then you're of course very welcome to raise your hand or send an email out to the list and hold the pen for an ELAC statement on this. Next, the interim report on the IDN CCNSO policy development process. This is marked as no statement. The comment period closes on the 26th of February, so we're on the last day today. I know it's an IDN CCNSO policy development process. Cheryl, did you have anything to add to this or not?
Thank you, Olivier. Cheryl, for the record. What I'd like to add is the continued support for no statement. We have been involved in the whole of this working group. In fact, it's a two-parter, part one and part two. There's two separate working groups that operate in this area. We've been pen holders on the process from the very beginning, and ALAC has done itself well with its representation. So I think we should just let sleeping dogs lie on this one.
Great. Thank you very much, Cheryl. So the next is the revised new GTLD registry agreement, including the additional public interest commitment specification. The comment period closes on the 26th of February 2013. The reply period closes on the 30th of March. Last month, I did ask whether the at-large was going to draft something about this. I thought that there might be some interest in our community since the words public interest commitments come to light on this. But unfortunately, there hasn't been any feedback on that. Would anyone wish to add something to this by any chance? I take it that either everybody is fully aware and happy with the new GTLD registry agreement, or we haven't read this yet. The reply period closes on the 20th of March, so we could always send a note before the end of the reply period. Nobody has any comments. Holly, you put your hand up. You have the floor.
Thank you. I've had a look. I'm not sure what I think at this stage, but I'm not sure the way they're worded, and I'm not sure of their enforceability. I think there's some real issues with it. I'll have another look. And I'll probably, I'll get back to you in the next couple of days as to what I think, okay?
Okay, that's really appreciated. Thank you. Holly, if I could just ask you to get back within the next couple of days, that would be really great. Alan, you've put your hand up. You have the floor.
Yeah, I think we have to make at least a token statement saying that a voluntary commitment is better than none, but it's really sad that ICANN has to resort to that.
Thank you very much,
yep.
Alan. I think that feeling is shared, if one looks at the historical facts and the track record, voluntary duties are not something which have been taken up with very much happiness. Let's do this as an action item. So let's have the action item is for Holly to have a look at this statement and suggest some text if needed. And I was going to ask Alan to have a look at this, but I know that Alan is currently deeply into revision number 245 of the Rules of Procedure.
If Holly forwards something to me, I'll look at it, Alan speaking.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan. Okay, next, let's have a look. Where are we? I have to find the right screen again. Now, we have a couple more to look at. Now, the at-large preliminary issue report on uniformity of reporting workspace. And Evan was supposed to confirm if a statement was necessary. Evan, have you had a chance to have a look at this?
Not really. I'll get back into it. I have gone into it, but just haven't found much, at least that's interested to me.
Okay, thank you. So, any comments or questions on any of these policy development items? I don't see any hands up, so let's go to the items for discussion. And the first item here, item number 7, is the ALAC and at-large involvement in GNSO activities, and that's matching supply with demand. I'm going to ask Alan for a very quick summary of this point, since he was the originator of the email that started the discussion about the resources that we have. So, Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you. It's basically just what I said before when I was talking about the specific TDP. I believe the ALAC must get out of the mode of commenting on things after the fact. And to a large extent, if it wasn't for me and one or two other people who have been participating in a number of working groups, that would almost always be the case. And I think we need to get involved in the policy discussions at the level that they're, you know, that the recommendations are being made and things are being investigated, because we have far less leverage to change things after they have been settled, after sometimes hundreds of hours of discussion and thousands of man-person, or person-hours, rather, of discussion. So I don't see any other way out of it. The email I sent became a philosophical discussion of what should the ALAC be doing and where should we be putting our resources. And I don't think I was I don't think I was asking that question, because it certainly it should not just be an ALAC issue. And I think we have a bylaw mandated responsibility to make sure that policies that are passed reflect the needs of the end user. And I don't see how that's going to happen in reality unless more people get involved. Now, some of these topics are specialized, some are not, but somehow we have to change our mode of operation, or I think we're going to be, you know, it's fine to come up with an infinite number of statements, but people I think are going to start looking at, you know, the substance of it more, and to what extent are we actually helping to meld policy as opposed to commenting on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Did I hear Cheryl say hand up?
Yeah, you did, actually. Thank you. And I actually tried to, Cheryl, for the record, I did try and put my hand up, but that part of my AD room is still crashed. Look, I couldn't support Alan more on this, and I think it's something else needs to be said. Getting involved doesn't mean just putting your name on a list and then just leaving your name on a list. We don't need to do the analysis, although some of us have. There are a significantly larger number of people who volunteer for input into these processes than who attend as regularly as is required to both get the voice you're bringing to the table trusted and heard, and to indeed make a difference. If a meeting of these types is meeting fortnightly or monthly or weekly or several times a week, well, there's only one way to make a difference, and that's to be at all of those meetings. Missing a few of them is fine, but there are far too many, listings of work group volunteers, where in some cases, and here I'm thinking specifically in the CCTLV, CNSO world, we've fought and have been mandated up to 5 regional representatives on some of these work groups. And you can count not on one hand, but on one finger, how many regular attendees there are. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Alan?
I guess I'll second that, and I'll note it's somewhat embarrassing that on occasion people do volunteer and then show up for one meeting out of 30 or something like that, and attendance stats are published. Now, yes, in theory, these people could have been listening to every recording and commenting vociferously on the list, but the reality is they don't. So I guess I can support what Cheryl said. If we want to be perceived as caring about how policies impact users and registrants are users, then I think we have to start to become part of the process. I mean, some of these questions are really difficult, and sometimes we actually have significant input on it. If you look at the results of the several recent meetings of the IGO-INGO working group, I sent out a message that triggered an enormous discussion. How it will come out, I don't know. It doesn't really matter, but at least we're surfacing ideas and getting some people to think that they're important that might not have been brought up otherwise. And I think that's the only way we can work. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. And if I could just add a couple more words to this. A while ago, the ALAC did ask for more cross-community working groups. The idea that the whole community would work on subjects rather than just having the same discussion taking place in each room in parallel, and then all of those different points of view ending up at board level. I think that it has been well understood by the board and by the community, although some have fought against this, that tackling the issues early on and having the different points of view expressed and discussed earlier on rather than at board level at the end of the process is a lot more productive. And I'm very pleased to see that the GNSO is opening up its working groups and has very much welcomed people from at large. And I say people from at large because we're not only speaking of ALAC members, of the committee members being welcome in those working groups, but everyone in at large being able to take part. And not taking part maybe in an official capacity for some of them, but in some cases it's individuals being able to be on those working groups. So I'm really concerned when I hear from Alan that, and I know how many of these working groups that he is on, we have very poor showing in there, and it's really drafting our comments and our public comments is one thing, but actually being part of that working group that does the initial work is, in my view, even more productive because we're able to shape the policy right at the beginning rather than hammering it at the end when it's finished. That's all. Alan, you have your hand up again.
Yes, I do. Just to correct one thing you said, you said it's encouraging that the GNSO is opening up their working groups to us. They have always been open. Certainly in my tenure, they have always been open. We are being treated more like a real part of the community, and our issues are important more so than before, where we were simply allowed there as a courtesy, but we're not really viewed as representing an important constituency. So the perception of how important we are has certainly changed, but they've, certainly for pretty much all of my tenure, they have always been open if people, ever since we had the concept of working groups, which only started around 2007, have always been open to us. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Alan. So what I suggest then as an action item on this is that a call that the staff sends out, a call for volunteers for these working groups. So the first thing that would need to be done is to find out what working groups, what GNSO and other working groups are out there that require our input, issue a call for volunteers, and then find out if there is interest. And the call for volunteers not only to be sent to the ALAC, because I know that several of you are absolutely overloaded with work, taking on so many positions, but also I think it's unfair to ask for people to go to three or four different working groups, bearing in mind some of them meet sometimes twice a week. So the request can be sent to all of the RALOs as well, the at-large structures, and that really is a good first step for our at-large structures to get involved with policy development, and at the same time it would spread the load. I mean, we have 130 at-large structures. That's a serious amount of people, and you know, at the moment I'm really concerned that on the one side we have at-large structures who are saying we want to help, what can we do, but they're not told what opportunity there is for them to join in and to get involved. So this would not only open up our own working groups, which I'm pleased to see are functioning better and better, but also be able to spread the load in influencing GNSO policy in the early stages.
This is Garth. I'm just going to put my hand up on this issue.
Yes, go ahead, Garth.
I'm sorry, I'm not on the Adobe Connect. Within Neuralo, we have started a program of outreach of our own subcommittee, and part of our agenda is increasing participation in working group and using that as a way to reach out to new ALSs and folks in particular who are useful and are not necessarily fully participating, and getting them to the meetings as well, you know, as, you know, full members of certain working groups. So that's something that we've been working on actively. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Garth. For the transcript, that was Garth Bruin. Question being, question for you, actually, as the chair of Neuralo, I'm very pleased that you're pushing for this, but is it something, have you reached a stage where you could share this with other RALOs?
This is Garth again. I mean, we can certainly absolutely share what we've been working on as a framework for outreach and in-reach and recruitment. That's definitely something, and we're going to be scheduling another call in the near future for our subcommittee. So we can certainly, you know, have other folks on that call from other RALOs if they want to participate. As far as the strategy goes for placing people on working groups, we're not at that point yet. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so now we have, I'm looking at the action items and I see the action item recorded, so to determine which working groups require ALAC input, and a call for volunteers will then be made to determine if there is interest in joining the working groups. So if I could ask, as far as the GNSO working groups are concerned, for Alan to provide a list of the working groups that require ALAC input, I'm sure he has that. At hand. For our CCNSO, if there are any CCNSO working groups that allow for at-large members, for Cheryl, of course, to provide us with such info, and for staff to provide us with a quick update on the working groups we have in at-large. I guess these we already know about. Alan?
Sorry.
Adam Greenberg.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't have a simple list on hand. If there were a list like that, I would simply send it. It is on my list of things to do to put together a list of what's active and what's coming. Unfortunately, on a couple of the PDPs, we're close enough to the end of them now that it's probably not appropriate to start new participation. The learning curve, I think, is going to be too steep, and the person will feel a bit lost. But there are others that are not there at all, and yes, I will be doing that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan.
Hand up.
Yes, Cheryl, go ahead, please.
Thank you. Just noticing what Heidi put up, that's
the at-large working groups. That's, you know, the tip of the iceberg. It's important, but it is just the tip of the iceberg. It's all of those particularly the support organisations that I think Ellen and I are very much on about, because that's the outward facing stuff that other people will be looking at. It is important to recognise that all of these things run a particular course, and as Ellen said, jumping in at the end of these things may not be all that wise. So a simple exercise of just running a list up and seeing what's populated and not populated may not be the best way forward, in my view. But having as Garth has indicated, in Naralo, and I know I'm aware of other activities along similar lines in other RALOs, having a framework which is effectively getting this information not just out to the ALSs, but also encouraging the regional meetings to follow up or have their secretariats specifically follow up on the calls or however it works for you, is important. And when we keep talking about capacity building and in-reach, these are topics that perhaps ought to be integrated into those agendas as well. But it's not just as simple as running up a list of what's running and what's not. If I was to suggest people suddenly jump into some of the more highly technical work at the moment, it would be fraught with even worse disaster than not having them there in the first place. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Of course, I leave the listing of these working groups and what the needs are over to both Alan and to you as far as the CCNSO and the GNSO are concerned. And certainly engaging a wider strategy is what we need to do in the longer term. Okay, I think we need to move on. And I note that I have been told that Tijani has to leave in 5 minutes, but he wanted to provide us with a few quick details about the African strategy and the discussion of the upcoming meeting in Addis Ababa. I don't see an agenda item here, but I thought we could just slot this quickly before Tijani has to go. Tijani, could you say a few words on...
Yes, Olivier, thank you. Tijani speaking. As you all know, ICANN is organizing two events in Middle East and in Africa. The first is in Dubai. It is for the multi-stakeholder internet governance, and the aim of those two events is to, encourage people to go more in the domain name industry in those regions. For Addis, for example, it is more or less a follow-up step of the African strategy of ICANN. And in the Middle East also, they are working on a strategy for the Middle East, and this event is in the same spirit. So there will be a 2 days event in Addis Ababa for the African community, especially the African registrars and private sector to push them to go and to enter the domain name industry, and also for all the other stakeholders in the internet governance ecosystem. Before those 2 days event, there will be a 2 days training, especially for the private sector, about everything concerning the registries. How to there is a whole program, and we will have the privilege to have with us at least three board members, or even four. I think Steve Crooker will be there. I'm not sure. But I am sure that Sébastien Bachelet, Ray, and Georges Sadowski will be there. So there will be the training 2 days and then 2 days of this event. It is more outreach, if you want, event. In the Middle East, it is the same. It is almost the same event, but the first is done by the Vice President for Africa, Pierre Dangino, and the second is done by the Vice President for Middle East, who is Mr. Daher Esmat. Those two events are, if you want, in the same direction of the new vision of the new management in ICANN. So more engagement with communities in the developing countries to make them if you want reach the internet development. I think that's all. I will not say more because it is not yet done. It will be done next week. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tijani. Just one question. Is it just you from at large who is going to go there, or are there any other?
Very good question. In Addis Ababa, will be 7 from at large. In Dubai, we will be 2 from at large.
That's really good to hear. So I'm really glad to hear that the community is involved in
yeah,
this part
and
of the world.
We are participating actively in those events. Huh?
Super. Okay, thank you. Now, I also, since we are dealing with this any other business item, there is also the Latin American and Caribbean, the La Corralo strategy that is are currently being put in place as well. I understand that Devan Antilik Singh might be able to provide us with a quick update on that.
Thank you, Olivia. This is Devan Antilik Singh speaking. Myself and Fatima Cambronero have been involved in the Latin American and Caribbean Strategy Working Group that is being led by Rodrigo de la Parra, the VP of Latin America and Caribbean for ICANN. We had a retreat on the 6th and 7th of February in Montevideo in Uruguay. Fatima Cambronero was there along with persons from LAC TLD, persons from the GNSO, from LACNIC, and some GAC members as well as persons like Vandis Scarzazzini and Alejandro Pisanti, participating remotely. I myself participated remotely on that retreat, as well as Tracy Hackshaw, from the CAC. So we, during those 2 days, it was quite intense actually. Various groups did their presentations, and afterwards we then started discussing the strategic plan, and we then broke up into various working groups to try to come up with a draft strategy. And this strategy was completed at the end of the 2 days retreat. And right now, the documents are being translated, and in fact, were just sent by Rodrigo just within the last 24 hours. And the intent is to continue working on the strategy, as well as to identify strategic projects that could achieve the strategic objectives. The intent is to try to have it ready by Beijing, but if not, then have it ready by the next LACNIC and LAC-TLD meetings, which are happening, I think, in May. So I think that's the close summary. Fatima Cambronero has been really documenting the entire process, and I'll point you to the link there, and it will go into much more detail as to what was done and so forth. So I think that's it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dev. That's really great, and it's good to see now two regions being involved directly with the strategy and the work of ICANN in their part of the world. I really hope that this will continue panning across all of our railos. I heard a hand up from Cheryl, so you have the floor, Cheryl Langdonor.
Thank you very much. I was going to, Cheryl for the record, I was going to raise this under the any other business, so it's appropriate that I pop in now rather than wait till the end of the call. Just a very, very preliminary, but I think very potentially rewarding update from the Asia-Pacific world, and with direct reference to this topic. As many of you will know, APRICOT, which is a regional meeting, is running at the moment in Singapore, and on the weekend, on Sunday, we held what is traditionally held in a number of gatherings throughout Asia-Pacific, something called the AP Star, which is pretty much any organisation to do with anything to do with the internet or internet governance, gathering together in a room and talking at each other, occasionally to each other. We had the pleasure of Saudi not only giving a presentation to that gathering, but also staying for the afternoon's and evening's proceedings. And I was very pleased to hear him as he was listening to us talk about our regional internet governance forum to be held in Seoul, South Korea, in the, let me count it, fourth week in September or July. I'll get back to you on the dates anyway. He wondered whether or not it might be appropriate to try and run a league in that, in parallel with that activity, if not to do so with another regional activity in the not too distant or really closest as possible point in the near future. He also informed us that interviews had been conducted for some of the candidates, at least for our new Asia Pacific regional vice president. So we look forward to very similar things happening in our part of the world. Although he did recognise, as was pointed out by a number of us, that we're a rather more complex region than many, and so he is aware that there are sub-regional diversities as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Great to see three regions with a lot of movement at the moment. So let's get back to our originally designed program and jump back from the Any Other Business to agenda item number 8, which provides us with an update from selected at-large working groups. Of course, we don't have time to look at all of the working groups that we have. The two really critical items this month are the ALAC Rules of Procedure Working Group and also the at-large new GTLD review working group. And so for the first one, the ALAC Rules of Procedure Working Group, you have 5 minutes. I'm not sure whether it's Cheryl or Alan who wishes to have the floor and provide us with an update on this, please.
Cheryl will start and Alan will finish. Cheryl, for the transcript record, the amount of work that the team has done, and here when I refer to the team, I'm talking about a coalescence of all of the individual drafting teams. We've come back from the section segregated world into the pen holders plus, doing a huge amount of work, but a particular shout out needs to go specifically to Alan, who for fair means or foul, and I think he may regret it at this point, at least at 2 a.m. in one of his mornings, said he would hold the pen on the drafting of these last versions. But there's been significant input from really each of the regions, but we should note here that the members of the work group have been heroic in these last couple of weeks, but particularly Alan. They should also note that there has been considerable input from, if I count them, about half the ALAC. So about half of your ALAC has been pen holding or putting primary input into the finessing of your final draft document. And Alan, I think you've still got it measured at version 46, but I suspect it might even be a slightly higher number if truth be told. I want to toss to you to give the ALAC a very brief review of the state of nation and also give them a small heads up on the fact that they should be going to the place and space on the wiki where this is about to be reposited, and that they need to start reading through it, that we will be doing a call in the not-too-distant future, and then getting them to vote on it. In other words, repeat everything you said earlier, but with a little more embellishment. Over to you, Alan.
Thank you very much. A couple of specifics. For the record, we're at 48 right now. 46 went out last night, but Word had decided that we really didn't want our paragraphs numbered and eliminated all the numbering. Somehow I got them back. I won't attempt to describe it here. I also have to note that Renalia, who had not been participating very actively in the various drafting teams, has been a very active reviewer of the consolidated document, and has contributed significantly, both time and quality, to the document. Currently, I think we will be finished this pass. I hope we'll be finished this pass in a few days. The number of comments is getting smaller per document, and I'm waiting for the rest of the pen holders to tell me if there's anything substantive that they feel that will be needed. The document will then be put out to the ALAC and at large for comment. We have specifically said that we're not in a position to handle individual comments and rebut them, but if people have comments, they should be funneled through their ALAC people. If their suggested change or criticism or comment has any merit and is going to be supported by the ALAC, then it's got to come through ALAC people. Otherwise, we're opening the floodgates and no real mechanism to address it. So my hope is we'll be out in a few days. We've said we'll give 2 weeks, which means we should be able to vote online prior to the Beijing meeting, and that's the intent. There are a couple of adjunct documents which have to be, which should be presented prior to that. There's a way to finesse it if we can't get them done, but you're going to see a couple of those from me in the next few days. Some of them are documents that already exist with a new title on them. One of them is in that category. One is some minor modifications to it, and we'll see what happens on the others. The way to finesse it, if we can't get the adjunct documents done, is to make the rules of procedure come effective as soon as the documents are approved. So we may choose to do that. And I haven't discussed that with anyone, so Cheryl may disagree strongly, or Olivier.
You got a yep from me then.
Okay, because that's the way to get the substantive work out of the way and then finalize the details later without jeopardizing the major work. I think that is about all. We have committed to have a discussion in Beijing on the Sunday, I believe, on whether we want to keep the electorate the same as we currently have or change it. And I think we'll probably be sending out some informational material, or someone will be sending out some informational material well before the Beijing meeting to frame that discussion. And I don't think there's anything else to report. It has been an enormous amount of work. Cheryl, you're correct. I might not have volunteered if I realized how many hours it was going to take. But I think the document is in pretty good shape right now, if the numbers don't all disappear again. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan, and thanks, Cheryl. And I want to echo your thanks to all of the people that have been involved in this massive project. Massive in that it's taken a long time. It's pretty hard for a large group to look at these rules and procedures, and you're looking at several hundreds of person hours, I think, that have been spent on this. So it really is great to see those taking shape. I'm mindful of the time, and I wanted to continue, since we only have 10 minutes allocated to the overall update. There's an equally important update, and that's the at-large new GTLV review group, where Devon and Tilak Singh is going to be able to provide us with the 5 minutes of what's going on there.
Okay. Thank you, Olivier. This is Devananti Luxing speaking. It's been a very busy month for the new GTLD review group, having to deal with the comments from the at-large community on the various applications and strings. After reviewing and discussing the various strings, we made several decisions regarding the various strings and strings on Amazon, Patagonia, NYC, .CBA, and health. We went through all of the comments received and had extensive discussions, and we tried to match the comments to what was expected of a community objection grounds. The community objection grounds, there are four tests that will enable the dispute resolution service provider, you know, hearing the objection to determine whether there is substantial opposition from a significant portion of the community to which the string may be targeted. And most critically, all four of these tests must be met for the objection to prevail. So what we did was that we ranked all the review group members, we created a template, we listed all the factors for each of these four tests and asked review group members to, well, rank based on the comments and the discussions whether there was a pass or fail or uncertain for each of these factors. And based on that, the comments that from on dot health, our initial review showed that there was consensus and that all four criteria were met, and therefore the decision was made to draft objection statements on the applications for dot health, as well as IDN application called Yang King, and I apologize for probably mispronouncing that name. It says it translates to either healthy or health. So once we did that, the pen holders within the last 10 days have been really trying very, very hard to really get the statement ready in time for the real review. And on our call yesterday, we decided that the statements are ready enough for the real review. So the statements have now all been put up. If you go to the website, the new GTLD dashboard, wiki pages have all been set up for each of the five statements. And so you can read the application by the applicant, the objection statement, and also the comments that we refer to in making our decisions and so forth. So all of those information is there. So the realtors all need to review each of these five GTLD applications and decide if the objection statement drafted by the review group supports the criterion for community objection. And most importantly, the realtor has to advise the ALAC as to whether the realtor either, one, supports the objection statement being filed by the ALAC against the new GTLD application, or to not support the objection statement being filed by the ALAC against the new GTLD application. The RELO cannot, change the text of the objection statement. So this advice for each of the five objection statements needs to be sent to the ALAC by March 5th, 2013. The reason is because the ALAC has to then review the RELO advice, and of course the end of the objection period is March 13, 2013. I'll stop there right now and then ask if anybody has any questions or comments.
Thank you very much, Dev, and certainly that's a very, very tight schedule that your group is working on. I must say I'm really thrilled by the amount of work that the review group has done. Just to remind everyone, most of the people in that group are not the usual suspects. They are totally independent in that they're not in any way conflicted. There was great amount of work that was done to make sure we had totally unconflicted people on that group. And certainly the amount of analysis that has taken place to make sure that if an objection statement is to be drafted, it really satisfies a large set of specifications. was really, really good. So, and of course, that's all thanks to the chair of the group, that's you, who's done an excellent work in moving this process along. Any questions or comments on this from anyone? I don't want to open a full discussion on what happens next. I think you provided good details of what happens next, and I suspect that there will be discussions at RALO level, and there should be discussions at RALO level first, and there should be discussions at ALAC level within the next 3 weeks. So the floor is open. Evan Libovich.
Thanks, Olivia. This is Evan. Just to repeat something I'd mentioned in the Adobe chat, Dave, are we talking about multiple objections being advanced for each RALO to consider, one against each of the .health applicants, or is there one sort of, so to speak, omnibus objection against all of them that needs to be considered? When the question gets put to the RALO, is it for multiple objections or just one?
Thank you, Evan. This is Dave. It is for the against each individual application. So the RALO are looking at 5 objection statements. For example, the RALO can look at the comments that's been provided. And in fact, one of the applicants, while our statements were being drafted, actually responded. So again, it's important for the RALO to look at the comments. So a RALO can decide to say it wants to support one objection statement but not the others, for example, you know, because they reviewed the evidence and they think perhaps the applicant does not cause detriment, one of the community objection criterion. So it's 5 separate applications. It's not against the string in general.
Okay, thanks.
I hope that answers the question.
My concern was, I saw what happened in some of the GAC early warnings where, for instance, I think in Dodd Green, the Czech Republic objected to all except one, and it seemed like they were trying to game the competitive process, or at least that's how it appeared to me. So I guess we have to be really, really vigilant of making sure that kind of thing doesn't appear to happen with us.
Well, thanks, Evan. This is Dave. Yes. I should say that, you know, in a sense, the GAC has a much more leeway in their advice, whereas we have to then try to, after we decided to look at these applications, the comments, we had to see if there was any limited public interest concerns, and there were none that could be applied. And then we then looked at the community objections, and then we tried to really look at the 4 factors, the 4 tests that for community objection to prevail. So, yeah.
Thank you very much. Alan?
Yeah, I think we want to be careful about using the word gaming in something like this. I think it's quite conceivable that one could have problems with 4 out of 5 applications for the same string and not have that problem with the 5th. You know, if you believe, for instance, that a particular string should be a community one and bottom-up organized, and one of them is and the others aren't, then yes, you're implying that you support the one that you're not objecting to, but I think that's an implicit part of the problem if there are multiple applicants for a string. So I'd be careful about using the word gaming.
Thank you very much, Alan. There was some feedback that some of the language used in those in the text, which is currently available, was a little bit difficult to read and certainly difficult to understand for those people who are not native English speakers. Is there any leeway in being able to simplify this text, Dev, or is the text in this format due to the requirements of the legal requirements for an objection to be drafted?
Thanks, Olivia. This is Dave speaking. Not sure if I follow. You're referring to the IDN application, I take it, that an objection statement was drafted on?
Not only the IDN, but all of the objection statements. So some of them are a little complex in the language that they use.
Indeed. This is Dave. Unfortunately, this it's very difficult. Once we started looking at the comments and then looking at the community objection criterion, and realizing that, you know, the community the four tests for the community objection criterion are very strict in terms of the factors and so forth, and that most critically, for the objection to prevail, all four tests must be satisfied. And that was why, you know, after long discussions, objection statements were not drafted against certain strings that we received comments on, simply because while one or two of the tests were satisfied, you know, the especially the detriment test was not satisfied, and we felt we could not draft a statement that could adequately, you know, satisfy the detriment criterion. So unfortunately, there is no easy way to do it. So there is some homework for the whalers to read the application, to read the objection statements as drafted, and to read the comments as well. And of course, the whalers are also invited to, you know, post comments on the wiki, and, you know, for everybody else to, well, discuss.
Okay, thank you, Dev. Holly, you put your hand up. Holly Reich.
I just want this a private chat that I'm having with Matt and Alan, just to point out that the comments about the public interest commitment specification are due today. I just won't have time to do it today, so we have to get something in to say we're going to be a little bit late, so that I'll have time to do something and Alan will then have time to just at least have a look, just to let people know, because otherwise the public period is for Australia anyway today, and I just can't do it in the next 12 hours.
Holly, what was this relating to?
This is way back, but it's what Matt's drawn my attention to. Public interest commitment specifications on new GTLD registration agreement. I just realised this comment is today, so I've got an action item to do something that I can't do.
Yeah, thank you. No, that's, well, okay, so that's out of the current discussion, but that will be taken care of. I think there's a note for a note to be sent out anyway.
Okay, thank you.
Right, thank you, Holly. Alan, you've put your hand up.
Sorry, I was going to elaborate on that, but let's go back to the topic on the table. I'll put a note.
We should. Yes, I'm a little concerned, mindful of the time. We still have 5 minutes until the end of the of this call, and in fact, we would probably need a little more than 5 minutes. Probably need about 10 to 15 minutes more, and I'm hoping that we can fit within the 10 to 15 minutes. I have to thank both Dev and also Cheryl and Alan for their feedback and their update on these selected working groups. Clearly, some work, some real work for. Not only for RALOs in the case of the at-large new GTLD review group, but also for the ALAC in both the review group and the Rules of Procedure Working Group. I implore the help and the diligence of everyone here to make sure that this work gets done. It's critical in the next three weeks, I think, about 3 to 4 weeks, but 3 weeks. It's critical that this work gets done, and it's critical that we do it in time, and that we don't come up when everything is done and dusted, and the on one side the rules and procedures are printed and the ink is drying, and on the other side the objections have been sent, that someone doesn't raise their hand and says, oh, by the way, I think we totally forgot something, and that would be quite embarrassing. So I'm hoping that we can catch everything there, and with more pairs of eyes, that will certainly help. So let's move on to the next thing. I see, Alan, you put your hand up again.
Old hand.
Okay, thank you. Now, the next agenda item is, again, a very short agenda item, and I'll just be quickly reading through this. That's the Meeting Strategy Working Group. You will have all seen requests for candidates sent on the ALAC list, ALAC announced list, I just wish to explain what the next steps are. So the announcement has been sent out. It was sent out a while ago by Sébastien Bachelet, who is going to be one of the co-chairs for that working group. And there was a repeat announcement, a reminder, which was sent in the past 24 hours. All candidates should send their candidatures to the email that is provided, the mswgcandidators@icann.org email, and carbon copy staff@atlarge.icann.org. The selection of the candidates will be made by the chairs of the working group. However, an endorsement will be asked of the ALAC, and the endorsement will be asked after the closing of the candidatures between the 3rd of March and, Heidi, if I get this correctly, I can't find the exact paper, I think it's the 14th of March. So the ALAC would have a week and a half, let's say, to make its choice of candidates' recommendations. I'm just mentioning this here to, let's take this thing offline since we are taking time on this, but I'm just trying to find out by what process the ALAC should be selecting those candidates. Do you think, do you all believe that there should be an overall vote of all the ALAC, or should it be a small team like there was for the ATRT? Bearing in mind we have very little time in front of us, which of those options would you say is the option to go for? I don't see anyone put their hand up. I'll keep this as something you can follow up on email. But Alan?
Olivier, it's Alan. Unless people feel very strongly about it, why don't we delegate it to the XCOM? It's a group that will meet in the next little while and can typically meet on short notice if necessary. Unless people feel this is an onerous enough task that we need to have a separate group for it.
Okay, Alan, thank you. Any thoughts on this? Okay, I don't see anyone jumping up and down and saying no. So let's take it at that. There is one question though, because I think all of the applications will be made public, and I think that one of the people on the ESCOM wishes to apply to this. But what we will do then is to work out a case when regarding their candidature. That XCOM member will not be voting or will not be party of the discussion. Let's take this offline. And I see here, okay, AI from Alan. So on revised new GTAD agreement should have added.
That was a message to
okay, that's
staff.
A follow-up on an earlier AI. Okay, no problem. Right, let's move on then, and I do apologize for the longish wait. We're now down to agenda item number 10, expired registration recovery education needs. And Alan Greenberg is going to be able to speak to us about this, but we have staff members Mike Zupke and Caitlin Tubergen who are joining us. And Mike is Registrar Programs Manager, and Caitlin is Registrar Relations and Contracts Manager. So if we could spend the next five-ish or so minutes on this, I'm not quite sure who is going to present on that.
It's Alan. I can certainly introduce it, but I suspect I don't have very much to say on it. Heidi, is it possible to get up the text in some window that I provided earlier?
Yes.
Okay.
Natalie, can you do that? In the meantime, I'll put it into the chat.
Yeah. Part of the post-expiration domain name recovery PDP, one of the recommendations was that a significant part of the problem was due to registrants not knowing what the rules were and being caught by surprise
and therefore it was strongly recommended that there be some educational material available, made available by ICANN, posted and displayed by registrars, so that registrants would have less excuse for saying, oh, gee, I didn't know. And it was suggested that this material not be developed solely by ICANN, but in cooperation with the registrars and with ALAC to help guide what should be there and to critique it as we go along to make sure that the final product really meets the original intent. And that's as much as a prefix as I can give. There is a copy of the recommendations, which may be posted in one of the chat windows or something, or it is posted by Heidi there. And I'll turn it over to Mike and Caitlin. And I hope I haven't said everything you were planning to say.
Thank you for that introduction, Alan, and nice to meet you over the phone. Thank you also for all of your hard work on this policy. So the policy is going to be announced this week. And so the next step, as you said, is for ICANN staff to create educational materials in consultation with interested stakeholders to help registrants properly manage their registration. And just to be clear, we're not asking ALAC to draft or create these materials. We just wanted some feedback as to what form you would like these educational materials to take, if you had any. So whether that's a webinar or a video tutorial or some sort of booklet, we're open to suggestions. As I understand, ALAC is also the most multilingual of the groups, and so if you have suggestions as to what translations you would like these materials to take. Matt has created a workspace for us, which I believe Heidi has put the link to, Mike just put the link to. So we would be interested in receiving feedback within the next 2 weeks as to how you would like, what form you would like these educational materials to take, if you have any ideas. Also on the workspace, Heidi posted yesterday the Beginner's Guide to Domain Names, which, as I understand, was created by ALAC. And we think that's a great resource, and we would be interested in updating it to reflect these policy changes. But if you have any other ideas, we would love to hear them. I don't know, if we have time for questions on this call right now, but I'm happy to provide my email address if anyone has any questions.
Yes, thank you very much, Caitlin. I think one of the things, of course, is by having the workspace already here, the best way to use your time and our time is to get people to fill and comment on this workspace and bring their input on there. I'm very pleased to see that you have the Beginner's Guide to Domain Names in your hands and that you will be updating this. That's certainly a very important resource that needs to be updated. On this view of languages, we operate, and this call included, operates in English, in Spanish, and in French. I think that as a real minimum, those three languages should be supported. I think that on a more standard basis nowadays, ICANN should really look at supporting the five UN languages. So this one is one which will echo very much with our community. Now, with regards to actually providing you with a direct input here, right now, I'm not sure, after 2 hours of call, whether anybody still has their mind working correctly and in place. I'd be quite surprised, but I open the floor for a couple more minutes if anybody wishes to add anything to what I've said. Okay, as you can see, most people are sleeping. I can see virtual Z's coming across. Oh, I hear one person who is just waking up, and that's Cheryl Lingdonor.
I'm far from just waking up. I'm been up for a ridiculous amount of hours. It's only 4 a.m. here in Australia, isn't it, Holly? As one who has a particular vested interest in this, because I happen to be involved in education and outreach for our 50 PLD operations, which is not dissimilar issues,
And I also had a little bit to do with it, as Alan did, through the development of this process of the whole PDP we did. What I'd ask you to do is make sure that not only do we look at language diversity, et cetera, but we look for things that are written in such a way as are extraordinarily plain language and simple and easy to understand. I don't need to tell you professionals about avoiding jargon, et cetera, et cetera, but we do need to also recognise that some of the ways we would like to promulgate this material out to the edges to maximise its penetration, we'll actually need very short little bites of information. So things that can be carved up and taken in small sections might be quite useful. We should not forget podcasts and radio. Use of podcasts, because not all of us live in incredibly well-connected, internet-rich environments with 24/7 electricity. Therefore, radio and some of our less whiz-bang and high bandwidth usages of material need to also be considered. And other than that, I'm always happy to contribute. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. So let's take this as a follow-up item, and I guess we can have it as an action item for the at-large community to, so for a request to come out and for input to be sent over to that wiki page which was created. I'm not quite sure. I didn't quite hear what are your timetables for this? When do you think that you will get drafting and having some material?
We would like to have all suggestions provided in the next 2 weeks, so by March 12th. And then March 12th, we'll take a look at the ideas, and if anyone has comments after that period, we'll also take a look at those. But please try to provide them by March 12th, and we will get to work on this.
And so okay. This is Mike. Just as kind of in terms of like what happens after that, the idea was, you know, we'd like to use the ideas that we get to figure out how long it will take, because, you know, as Cheryl mentions, we might want to do podcasts, there might be some written things, and so those might all take a little bit different tracks, so we just sort of want to figure out kind of first what the landscape is before committing to a timeline.
Okay, excellent. Well, I think it's all very exciting, and we always very much welcome more material for internet users.
Hand up, Olivier.
Yes, I can see you now. Alan, please.
Thank you. Just a practical point. It's infinitely easier to get comments and critiques when people have something to comment on instead of on a blank page. So although it's fine to ask for input now so you get your marching orders, you're likely to get much better input and perhaps more input as well, but certainly better quality input when we see something and can identify the what's missing in it or where the direction is inappropriate. So I just give that fair notice.
Thank you very much, Alan. And I gather that once Mike and Caitlin have started drafting, there will be some opportunity for feedback afterwards. Is that correct?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you very much for coming online and visiting us virtually, I guess, and providing us with some details on this. Exciting, as I said, and I look forward and hope that the community looks forward to bringing their input into this in a couple of weeks' time. So the action item on this is for staff to send out a call on the mailing list. Now, agenda item number 11, we're reaching the end of this call. We do have to go rather quickly, but I hand the floor over to Cheryl Langdon. Not Cheryl, sorry. That's it. I'm starting to get names wrong. Heidi Ulrich. Review of at-large meeting schedule for the 46th ICANN meeting in Beijing. Heidi, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. I'll make this very brief. Just all meetings have been scheduled for Beijing. We do expect that the draft ICANN schedule will be posted this next week. What we're asking you to do now is look at the wiki pages I'm going to be putting into the chat. These are questions for example, for the board and other for the public forum, et cetera. So we'll be putting those in an email and sending that out, all of the pages, so you can add your questions you have for these particular events. I think that's all. I think the XCOM also will be looking at the agendas a little bit more tomorrow during their call. And I think at this point, that's it.
Okay, thank you very much. That was very fast, but I was going to mention specifically the board questions workspace and the topics for public forum workspace. I know that there was a closing date for the public comment, for the topics for public comment, which was on the 22nd of February. Do we still have time to provide such input? I only see two people having brought their input into this.
Olivia,
that question
Heidi,
is
yes.
Aimed at. Yes, go ahead,
yes.
Heidi.
Yeah, this is Heidi. Yes, I do believe that we could still send those in. But again, if we could get those in by this Friday at the very latest, that would be very useful.
Perfect.
Thank you.
And of course, we also have the board questions. We are going to meet with the board, and so it's really vital that we get those questions in as soon as possible. As far as other meetings are concerned, these are not confirmed yet. If we do meet with the GAC, we will have a wiki page that will ask for the questions and topics for the meeting with the GAC. And I'll spare you going through the whole list since we have 27 meetings. I'm not quite sure we can add even more time to those 24 hours every day. We are reaching the end of this call now. Although we are on 11B update on APRALO Beijing events, that's probably our penultimate agenda item here. Who is going to provide us with an update on this? Is that Rinalia or staff? Or anyone else? Holly.
Holly.
Ah. Thank you, Rinalia. So, Holly, you have the floor.
Thank God. I'm talking about Beijing. Sorry, I just walked away from the farm briefly.
Did you walk away or just wake up again?
Wake up is more like it. Are we talking about Beijing? Have we finally got there?
Holly, we are talking about Beijing. And you,
fantastic.
The shorter you are, the quicker you can go to bed.
I can hardly wait. As you would have heard, and as the others didn't hear, we had a meeting today, yesterday now, of the Beijing Organizing Committee. Pretty much everything is in hand. I've got to say, Maureen's doing a brilliant job. Renalia is. We're going to have a showcase we're arguing about how many speakers. We're going to have a multi-stakeholder event on Monday. We're going to have an event particularly just for Chinese ALS on a Thursday. We are finalizing the whole schedule, which we can send around to everybody, but since everybody's been on this call for a very long time, Heidi, I think the one thing to do might be, if people are interested, they can go to the Beijing Organizing Committee website and just look at the calendar, because we're pretty well on track for everything to be finalized. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's very good, Holly. And thanks for all the work that your group has done to prepare for Beijing. I know when it actually happens on the day, it sounds and looks like it's always very easy to do. But I also know that the RALO leaderships from each one of the RALOs have gone through through this amount of work to prepare for events, and we're all looking forward to go over to China and to really enjoy our time over there. I don't wish to make that call that much longer. Any other business item, agenda item number 12? We have dealt with some any other business earlier. Heidi, I know that you keep track of this. Is there any other business that I might have not picked up?
This is Heidi. No, not that I am aware of.
Okay. I don't see any other hands up, so I thank everyone, for the 2 hours and 15 minutes that we have spent together. I thank everybody for this call, and I guess that this call is now adjourned. And thanks, of course, to the interpreters for their extensive work and for having spent a little more time with us. It's been really, really good. And I do apologize once again if I speak a little bit too fast sometimes. Thanks, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, all.
Bye, all.
Bye, thanks.
Thank you, bye.